morning.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
You're listening to the Ion Cannon Podcast.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Your source for entertainment reviews from a galaxy far, far away.
This is it.
Hey, laser clankers!
Welcome to the Ion Cannon Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Steven, and I'm joined by my friends and co-hosts, Tom and William. Today, we're here to talk about Season 3, Episode 14 of The Bad Batch, titled Flash Strike. I had written a nice pun down, but I struck it out because it was bad.
It's getting worse.
Jeez. Oh, Steven.
It is getting worse.
The current trajectory, we
are deeply in trouble by the time we get to the finale.
So, with that, Tom, what are we reviewing this week?
I'm back into it. We are now reviewing The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 14, Flash Strike, the final episode before the final episode. This was directed by Nate Villanueva and written by Brad Rao. In this episode, the Bad Batch arrive on Tantus while Omega comes up with a plan to escape. So that sums up basically the whole episode. Goodbye, everybody. Just kidding. No, there's a lot more to this episode because they finally do get to Tantus on the science vessel that we saw in the last episode. They were able to piggyback right on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it's... I really kind of split this episode is split into two, you know, main storylines, right? We've got the Batch's arrival on Tantus and how they try to locate Tantus base through the jungle. And then there's Omega and how she starts to develop an escape route potentially. So let's start with the Batch pretty quickly. And I was actually glad to see this, right? The Empire very quickly realizes that there was a security breach on station 003. And I hope they also realized that Rampart had escaped, but maybe not. And so of course there's a, they know that the Bad Batch must be coming. And so, Hemlock dispatches fighters to monitor the airspace and immediately informs the science vessel when it drops out of hyperspace. So the Bad Batch are, they're already facing quite a bit of resistance as soon as they exit hyperspace and detach from the shuttle. And we get some pretty cool fighter sequences. I don't know, Steven, again, I know you are our resident ship expert. And how did you feel about this sequence?
I mean, as expected, they were phenomenal. There's some great sequences, you know, as the shuttle detaches and is in the clouds. But I think for my money, it's after the V-Wings have arrived. There's a shot where as they're plummeting towards the ground, Hunter flips the ship around, shoots a couple of the V-Wings out, and then, you know, uses the shuttle's failing engines to, I don't know, what the, like move backwards in space slightly, you know, so the fighters overtake them and they get a little bit of breathing room, but visually just
that kind of slows
them
down a bit.
Yeah, they just, as usual, did a phenomenal job with it. Like, hats off to them.
I just love seeing all the fighters like dodging through the clouds, and it's really cool. And like even
they
when
do
they
a great job with it
when the
yeah,
ship starts to
you
crash.
Have a space battle.
Oh yeah, yeah. Tom, your thoughts?
The one thing I really enjoyed is when they're bailing out. I think Ramp. When they're bailing out, I love Rampart. I think naturally everybody else has no problem repelling, but do I remember correct? Rampart was pushed out because he was like having a fit.
Yes. So you know, good.
Everyone has challenges, just, Tom. And
I know there's challenges, but again, what better character to bring back for the final episodes? Just amazing.
It's so great. Well, we know the forest around Tantus is incredibly dangerous, right? And
yes,
as we saw in the premiere, but it's their only option. The shuttle is damaged. It's crashing. And so, as you said, they basically rappel out the bottom of the ship and into the jungle, which is dangerous because you might slam into a tree or something, but you know that's what they do.
Or other creatures.
I even love that who was it? Was it one of the Batch? I can't recall off the top of my head, tells Rampart, hey, don't hit anything on your way down. It just throws them out the
I would think that would be that was probably Wrecker, because that would be a Wrecker line right there.
Yeah, I think that's correct. But yeah, and so then it's really about them navigating the jungle, right? Trying to get through the very, very dangerous jungle around Tantus. Because as we saw in the premiere, right, there's a lot of unknowns and a lot of really dangerous creatures, including the Dryax that we saw earlier this season. It's back. It's great when Rampart leans against the Dryax and all of a sudden he realizes, oh, that wasn't a log.
They did a really great job as well, just like design wise, because I didn't notice that's what it was at first. Like does kind of just look like a rock with a bunch of leaves on it.
Yep.
And that slow realization, like, wait, that doesn't. Oh, never mind. This is.
Oh no, that is bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is bad, and Rampart's just about to say something when Wrecker immediately covers his mouth so he doesn't scream. Because one thing you don't want to do is wake that thing up.
No.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing was just really, really well done. That whole fight sequence, right? And at first, I was like, well, okay, yeah, you can't fire your blasters, but they're still going to hear something, right? And it turns out they do, right? the Empire hears the commotion, they start getting involved. They quickly get swept up in the fight against the Dryax. But at least it also helps distract the Empire from the Batch themselves, because they're fighting the local creatures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great sequence, though. It really is.
Yeah.
I do think my favorite sequence throughout the episode, though, might be Echo, who is on the actual science ship and has to figure out how to get off the ship, you know, safely while Hemlock and, you know, the base are looking for him. Particularly, like, so first he does the obvious thing, you know, puts on the stormtrooper armor. But I was dying when he, you know, he still got his port for a hand, you know. Mm-hmm. When he attaches the droid hand, it's like, oh, that's
yeah.
Universal so ports apparently work quite well in the Star Wars universe, but it cracked me up.
Oh, and also his line, right? Thanks for the hand. It's just so good.
Just so good.
Yeah, between last episode with all of his, you know, shots at Rampart, and then this episode, like, I think Echo might take the award for like best lines in at least this season, maybe the show, honestly.
I mean, he's Echo has always been my favorite of the batch, if I'm being honest. They're all great, but Echo, I love Echo.
Well, remember back when the episode where somebody says, is there an Echo on here? And he goes, here. It's like, what? I'm Echo.
I had forgotten about that, but it definitely fits.
Yes.
So good. So good. Oh, yes. But no, that whole sequence of him trying to escape and dodging, you know, RA-781, played by Steven Stanton, which is always nice to have him back. And, you know, eventually he does manage to sneak off the ship through one of the droid lifts, and he's actually the first one inside of Tantus space, right? And he even manages to locate Emery Carr's lab and finds Omega, you know, on a data pad. But that's when Dr. Carr walks in and interrupts him. And this conversation was one of my favorite moments in this episode, because she instantly knows it's who Echo is, that he's one of the batch. He's there to rescue Omega. And she introduces herself, and you know, right initially, it's Echo is he very quickly admits, hey, we're gonna rescue the prisoners, we're gonna rescue Omega and everyone you've been experimenting on. And you can see that Emery is wrestling with this, and like, she's like, I'm just doing my job, but you could tell she doesn't fully agree. Especially when he starts criticizing her and saying, you're a clone, how could you do this? And that's where, as we talked about a month ago, Emery offers to help, and it's, I think, a huge moment for her character. And she's now on board and going to help Echo and the batch free Omega and the children. And so like she's at this point, she's fully turned, right? Or do you think she's playing them?
I wouldn't say playing. I am maybe nervous is the right word. Like, I don't know. We'll see. I suspect they'll play it straight, but there's a part of me that is not 100% on that.
Mm.
I agree with you.
Okay.
No, I agree with Steven. I want them to play it straight. I am hoping that she's turned. It would be a very cruel twist if you find out she did not turn. I don't think that would play out, though. I really don't think that would play out this way.
I think at this point, we are already... we only have one episode left at this point, right, after this. Next week is the series finale. I think she has turned. I don't think there's any other option. Now, we don't know if... Maybe next week, it's not really clear if next week is one episode that is, you know, twice as long as normal, right? Maybe it's like a 40-minute finale, or is it literally just 25-ish minutes? But either way, they do not have a lot of time to wrap up stories. I don't know. Sorry, Steven, you were going to say something.
No, I was going to say exactly that. I think you're right. Given the time left, we're probably not going to see any major changes here.
Yeah, agreed.
It feels like we're kind of in a like we said before, very straightforward. They're going to rescue Omega. Maybe she'll see some stuff. That's kind of it. Maybe there'll be a twist we're not expecting. Yeah. But I think they're going to stay with a more personal and happy ending for this group.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I do have to throw this out there. Are they going to rescue Omega, or do you get a feeling that Omega basically is going to escape and rescue herself?
Yes. Which is kind of what they did before too, right? Before they get to Omega, she rescued herself.
Yeah.
That's
kind of what I see building up to all this, which is very fitting if that's the case, because she can definitely handle her own.
She can. She really can. Yeah. Yeah. No, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But before we switch over to Omega's storyline, I did want to touch on one other part of the batch sneaking on to Tantus, and that's Crosshair again and Rampart. And you know, he again, you can see Crosshair as soon as they land in the jungle around Tantus. He's already like kind of tensing up from just how much he's struggling with being back. And of course, I love Rampart calling the clones truly defective for wanting to come to Tantus.
Understandable from his perspective.
Yeah, that's fair. And but the big moment I think was when Crosshair tells Rampart that he's changed, and Rampart doesn't seem to believe him. You know, he says, "Sure, you have." Do you think they're hinting at something, or is it this just? You know, Rampart just doesn't believe them. I think they're just trying to fake us out there, and I think Crosshair really has changed. But what do you guys both think?
Oh, I think he has as well.
I think he's changed.
Yeah, I think Rampart just isn't seeing the truth that Crosshair is. He doesn't really have an ulterior motive here. He really is different.
See, I think, but also. William, you pointed out a couple of things. They're getting close to the end. They're playing everything straight. It would be a very cruel twist of fate to find out Crosshair was playing everybody at the end of this. I can't see that.
It's an interesting thought exercise, but there's no way that happens.
Yeah. It is totally agree. But I don't see it. I don't see it at all. Yeah. I think Rampart's basically messing with him because it's Rampart.
Exactly.
Yep.
Also, you know, the Rampart falling face first on the ground being captured by Stormtroopers, such a great moment.
Yeah.
Oh, serves him right. And we don't really see what happens to the rest of the batch. They're out there somewhere, right? Echo he's now working with Emery. Rampart has been captured by the Empire. Echo is, or the Hunter, Wrecker, and Crosshair, after the fight with the Dryax, they escape, but we don't really know what happens. I suspect we'll have to wait until the series finale next week to find out.
Can we go back a little bit? What do you mean by suspect one? I think it has to happen.
Exactly. Yeah, to happen week, no, but we're just never going to see them. They're never going to show up in the finale. That's, you know.
And that was it. And yeah, end of show.
Okay, can we back up a little bit to Echo when he was on the med ship? Because, and I think even before when the med ship landed, he was going back to a panel and you could see him plug in with his port and stuff was coming up on the screen. Do you get the feeling that while they were in hyperspace or even when they landed on Tantus, he was sending the coordinates back to basically Rex?
Interesting. Because I hadn't considered that.
Because they went back to him at that panel at least twice that I remember. Specifically, if you remember, he plugged in his port and he was looking at stuff on the panel.
Yeah, I'd assumed he was, you know, working on escaping, but it's possible he was sending something out. That would be
it could be the escape thing as well, but there is that thing to where if you want to say, hey, let's call in the cavalry to have, you know, his brothers come. And yeah, we may be at a point to where you don't want to introduce anybody new, but you still have Rex out there and Gregor out there, and they are totally into, you know, releasing all their brothers from Tantus. This could be it to where he was sending coordinates back through hyperspace. Now, why the Empire didn't pick that up, who knows? Maybe it was back to arrogance again. Maybe Echo was able to somehow scramble that code within a signal going back. But it was called in a couple times he was at that panel.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. I hadn't caught quite how often they went back there, but maybe there's something to it, Tom.
Yeah, I think it was twice.
You're right, because they did go back to it a lot. Part of me thinks that they may not want to bring in Rex or anyone else just because they would have to get to and then also leave Tantus undetected. And you're right. The Empire
That's
is going to, they're going to keep this place a secret. I think unless they destroy Tantus base next week in the finale, it's probably going to be something that's kept a secret for maybe forever. Maybe we see them return to a Tantus sometime in the future. And so I don't know.
They could always treat it as Scarif, even though Scarif wasn't, you know, Scarif wasn't a secret, but
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I just got that feeling that he was up to something when he was at that panel.
No, you're probably, I don't think you're wrong, Tom. It's just a question of what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Steven.
Okay. The second half of the episode involves Omega, yeah, working on rescuing herself. I don't know about you guys. I felt like this was a little bit weaker, mainly because it felt kind of repetitive.
Very, very much so.
But it involves, you know,
like she
Omega
gets a little further
sneaking into the wall we'd seen previously and exploring what else is out there, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like she does get further and we see a lot more, but you're right. It felt a lot like last week, you know. Like I also get, it would be weird if she just magically escaped first try. And so spreading it over a couple of weeks, a couple of attempts, is a lot more realistic in that regard.
Right.
But yes, it kind of feels like I think she will probably escape on her own. And just run into the batch somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think
that was my take as well. I think the biggest thing, obviously, for Omega's part of the episode is when she sneaks out, it's what she discovers. Is also within Mount Tantus.
Yes.
And that was one of the greatest things to see.
And I have to say,
so cool.
I was pretty surprised. We called it a couple weeks ago. It's definitely the Zilla Beast. It's cool to see. I love seeing the Zilla Beast. And we saw it last season. And they sure enough actually did have a Zilla Beast. We were just speculating about what could be down there. Sure enough, it was a Zilla Beast. And they're shooting it with those same ion cannons we saw in the Clone Wars. And I don't know. You feel bad that poor Zilla Beast is being tortured.
Yep.
It's not what ion cannons are supposed to be meant to do.
No,
they're not for
we're
torturing.
Supposed to do a podcast. Anyway, but I got to say, Isn't it fitting? I know you guys are sitting there saying Empire wants to keep this a secret. They don't want Tantalus to be discovered. But if that Zillow beast gets out, Tantalus is going to be destroyed.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good point, Tom.
Because that's the other thing. You could tell at the end of this episode when Omega has figured out how she's going to escape, you know exactly how it's going to be. She is going to use that Zillow beast to basically be her, you know, ticket out of there. And you know, when that Zillow beast gets out, they're going to have to destroy the base.
That's really interesting, Tom, because I saw the Zillow beast and my brain went to, oh, she's just going to, that she thinks that's a path out, right? She saw a new area that she can get to. Mm-mm. I don't know. I hadn't even considered that she would actually use the Zillow beast to escape.
I am,
and that seems obvious in hindsight.
I am sitting here. And I'm not going to throw a boatload of money at this. I am going to put a dime on this. That's it. That she
just
is
a dime. You don't want to go deeper, Tom?
Okay, maybe 15 cents. but I'm cheap, guys. Anyway, I mean, I know my son's out of college, so is my daughter, so I don't have to pay for college anymore. I'm still cheap. Anyway, but she. Look, it. I have said this before, and I'm going to say it again, and I've said it many, many times. If you call attention to something, you've got to use it. And the way that they ended the episode, and I know it's animation, but if I was writing the script, and if she says, I found a way out, that Zillow beast is going to be used.
Hmm. Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that Tanta's base will be destroyed. It's possible it can be... it suffer a lot, you know, sustain a lot of damage.
And... it could sustain a lot of damage and basically put on a list, just like, you know.
But in 20 years, it's still there.
Yeah,
or whatever.
And,
but
and it could be like Jeddah. It could be like, you know, like I said, Scarif, to where you can't go back anymore, even though the planet's still there. But the Zillow beast is going to be used, and she's going to use that as cover for her escape.
Mm, that makes me really excited
makes
for
sense.
Next week.
Yep.
Yeah, I could see that. I could
it
see
makes
that.
Sense.
Yeah, no, the tubes are really interesting in general too. The, you know, it almost looked like a miniature elevators, right? Mm-hmm. And just small enough for her to squeeze by. I a couple times I thought she was gonna get hit by one of the boxes.
So did
the
I.
Tubes.
So did I.
But she managed to avoid them, which is good. I think the most surprising thing is she was able to get in and get out without being discovered, because. Mm-hmm. You know, Ava and Jax, they tried their best to distract Dr. Skaldr and the nanny droid, but that was a close call with Omega getting back in time.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was very close, especially putting the panels back. I didn't think she was going to be able to do that in time.
Especially because I still don't know how those panels are attached. It looks like it's just open space and they just sit in the middle of the wall, but whatever.
Well,
it's
stucco, or
base.
It's grout.
Remember, you know, it was designed for a bunch of young kids who weren't trying to escape, and it's only because of Omega that she's even escaping. That it wasn't designed for that, so you can't blame the building designers. They didn't
I mean,
know.
I definitely can, but I will accept your comment.
I mean, at the end of the day, the kids did a decent job distracting Emery, right? Ava pretends she's not feeling good, and. Jack's like, can I go next? But, you know. It
was kind of impressive. I was expecting them to be way, way more obvious about it.
Right.
But instead, I think it's more left to Omega having a great sense of timing than the kids, I think, managing to really delay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Ava did delay them a little bit, right, with saying she was not feeling well. They had to check her vitals and everything else.
That
but
definitely worked.
Jax is like, can I go next? Did nothing. Also, why? Why do you want to go next? No, it was good though. I also love just how Omega, you know, she grew up with clones, right? And military terminology, and she's like, cover me, and they're like, what's cover you? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. But yeah, like Omega, she gets back to the vault just in time, just before Dr. Skaldr enters her cell. And she tells the kids that she has a plan. She has an escape plan, but we're going to have to wait for the series finale next week to find out.
Of course.
Do you guys have any last minute theories heading into the series finale? I think we've talked about a lot of them, but anything maybe we haven't talked about?
I don't think so. It feels like we're going to be pretty straightforward. Like, I think we're going to get a rescue. We'll get some of the clones out. Maybe not all of them. I kind of like Tom's theory on the Zilla Beast wrecking the base to some degree and maybe causing it to be left inactive. I think my boldest claim is I bet I'm going to put money down. We do get like a post-credit Thrawn scene on Tantus sometime in the future.
I like just that.
As like a tease for the future. Not related to the show itself, but just to like help connect it to the broader universe again.
Yeah. I could see that. I don't think we'll get a tease about the next series yet. I would love that, but they tend to kind of let it breathe a little bit for 6 to 9 months before they announce then whatever is coming next.
Yeah,
but that would be cool. You know, maybe it's about Asajj. Maybe it's, I don't know. Well, I think in our series recap, we may discuss our wishes for what we might want to see in the next series, but we'll save that for another review. In the meantime, any other thoughts or things to add on this episode?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
And yeah. Tom, do you want to lead us into our ratings?
Yeah, I'm going to lead into the ratings, and I'm going to tell you, I'm giving this 1 of 9. I enjoyed this episode. I thought it was really good. I am calling it now. Zilla Beast is going to be released, and it's going to create havoc in the final episode. You are not going to sit here and call attention to something like that and not use it. So I enjoyed the episode. Great episode. My 9 Womp Rats. See, my 9 Womp Rats were also inside those little wall tunnels with Omega, but they were riding the little thingy bobbers that are going through the tunnels to make sure they got to their proper destinations. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's my 9 Womp Rats.
Steven.
So. I think I'm going to give this another 8.5. Maybe an 8, I think, actually, on reflection. Definitely enjoyed the Bad Batch half a little bit more, particularly Echo's story. I thought was fantastic. The Omega stuff I thought was necessary, but definitely felt a little on the drawn out side. But a solid episode, and it, you know, sets up the finale, and I'm very, very excited to see where that goes. But with my 8 Womp Rats, I mean, I'm just saying, the Zilla Beast has got to eat something, you know?
Ooh. Poor Womp Rats, but yeah.
Ooh.
tasty. Yeah, they are. Steven, I actually totally agree with you. I'm gonna give it an 8.0 as well. Really, I still really like the episode quite a bit. You know, the Bad Batch part was definitely the stronger piece, but they're setting up Omega for her escape. She has all the pieces she needs now. She's got her tools. She's got an escape route. She knows about the existence of the Zilla Beast. And Tom, I'm very excited for your theory. And I think you're right. I think it'll probably happen. So yeah, I'm hoping. I can't wait to see what happens next week. It's interesting because it's not like we're on a big cliffhanger or anything else. I feel like we know, and maybe we're completely wrong, but I feel like we have a general idea of what's going to happen next week in the series finale. But again, it's really more about the characters and the journey getting there than it is any big twists or, you know, momentous things. Maybe we'll be wrong. Maybe there'll be a big thing that just makes our jaws drop next week, but that's okay. You don't need those types of things.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm gonna give this episode 8 Womp Rats out of 10. And my 8 Womp Rats, they're actually from the jungle around Tantus, so they're really scary. They 8 Womp Rats can easily take down one of those dry axes. So you gotta watch
out.
Wow. Yeah.
Very nice.
Well, I think that about wraps up our reviews, our review for this week. Thank you guys all for listening. And we'll be back next week with the series finale. The Calvary has arrived. And actually, it may not be next week. It might be a few days later. Lucasfilm did not send these episodes screeners out early, so we will be watching it with all of you on the edge of our seats, And then we will review the Bad Batch, as well as we'll have to review Tales of the Empire as well, because that also comes mm-hmm. out in just over a week. I think it's next Saturday. So yeah, very, very excited for both. We'll do our Bad Batch review, then we'll go into Tales, and then we'll come back with our Bad Batch recap. So stay tuned. Lots of great Ion Canning content coming your way. And then in just over a month, we're going to have The Acolyte. So yeah, lots of good stuff.
A lot of good stuff coming.
It is. That's for sure. But in the meantime, we'll let you all go and enjoy this week's episode of The Bad Batch and prepare yourselves for the series finale next week. The Calvary has arrived. Thank you all for listening, and may the Force be with you.
Thank you for listening to the Ion Cannon Podcast, your source for entertainment reviews from a galaxy far, far away. For over a decade, Ion Cannon has covered every corner of the saga, from the films and animated series like The Clone Wars and Rebels, to books, comics, games, and more. If you like what you hear, please rate us in your favorite podcast client. Your review will help this show grow within the Star Wars community. We can be found at our website, ioncannoncast.com, and you can follow us through Facebook and Twitter. To email us, you can do so at contact@ioncannoncast.com. The Ion Cannon Podcast is not associated with Lucasfilm, the Walt Disney Company, or any and all of their respective trademarks or copyright holders. Any opinion expressed on the show are that of the hosts. This podcast is a production by fans, for fans, and is copyright 2018.